One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Father God, I pray for Jeff that you would speak through him and fill him with your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would be with us and that we would receive all that you want to give us today. Amen.
Well, thank you, Thea, this morning. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. Thank you for reading so well, Thea, this morning, for that lovely prayer. We need the Lord this morning. We need to have his Holy Spirit implanted, renewed in us again. That's why we gather, isn't it, to worship God and to receive from him all that he can give us. We've had a great word for us this morning. I feel in my heart it's really blessed me as I've worked on this over the last week or so. It's the second week, as we've been told, of our new series, Feasts, Festivals and Families, resources that God gives us in order that we might have life, a good life, and life in all its fullness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Resources that he gives us to sustain our life. And this week, celebrating freedom together, Sabbath. The word Sabbath is a Jewish word, as we heard earlier, meaning stop, meaning rest, stop. And I need God to shout that into my head, don't you? Sometimes I'm too busy by half, aren't you? Most of us are, I'm sure. I'm retired now. And I tell you, it's different work, but it's still work. Many ways I'm busier than perhaps I've ever been. I'm not quite sure it's quite that. But we all need to rest. We all need to stop. Now, when my little children were very small and they were learning to ride their bicycles, this is not one of my children, by the way, she's far too well behaved. But when they were learning to ride their bikes, the first thing I taught them was to know where the brakes were. "Learn how to stop," I said, "otherwise you'll crash." And you know, God said the same thing to his children as they wandered in the wilderness. They were free from the slavery of Egypt, and they were heading for the promised land. And God said, "Look, let's take a day and stop a moment." Let's hear that passage. Let's see that passage out from, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day for the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male or female servants nor your animals nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that was in them. But he restored, he rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. God said, stop a moment and rest. Take a break. Sabbath, that weekly celebration for the whole family, not just you and the kids, but the whole family. And if we looked at the passage in Deuteronomy, which carries the same message, it's even for your donkey should stop. All your animals should stop. God knew how important it was. And because this does predate the idea of Sabbath predates this particular event of the giving of the Ten Commandments in the wilderness to the people of Israel. It predates it. In Genesis 2 and verse 2, we find this. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. It's not that God was tired. God doesn't get tired. It's just that he knew that we do. He knew that we would need it. So he set a precedent, if you like. He stopped what he was doing in order to establish the principles of rest. That rest is good for people. That stopping your normal routine, if you like, is good for folks. Sabbath. I was reading recently about this, and one illustration was that Sabbath was given like a belt around your waist, you know, that holds everything in place. A nice broad belt that's comfortable and secures everything and keeps everything okay. That's what Sabbath was. The problem over the years, especially by the time it got to Jesus' time, was that Sabbath had notches added to that belt. Many notches were added. It got tighter and tighter. Many rules and regulations were added in about what you could do on the Sabbath and what you could not do and what you must do. And there's a notch here. And it became like a straitjacket. You could hardly breathe without doing something wrong. You would break the law at every turn because there were so many rules and regulations. Now, don't let's be too hard on the Pharisees here, although they come across pretty badly in the passage. But you see, Israel had been carted off into exile. And it was a dreadful time in their history. And when they returned from exile and came back, they really thought they must have done something dreadfully wrong to upset God in order that he took them out into exile. Now they were back, they must try and keep in with God. They must make some rules that would keep us right with God. The problem was they made so many rules that you couldn't do anything. And you were under the law of these rules, and you're bound to break them because there were so many of them. They were stupid rules, silly rules. You couldn't heal on the Sabbath. You know, if you cut your finger, you couldn't go and get a plaster. That would be working, and stick it on your finger. You couldn't tie a knot in a rope in order to lower a bucket to get water from the well. It was crazy stuff. It was silly stuff. It was like a straitjacket for the people of God, and they couldn't move and they couldn't breathe, and it was overpowering. And I'm going to speak in a moment. But when Jesus says, come to me, all you are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What he's talking about is the law. Not just our physical, but the spiritual dimension. He was talking about the load that the law had placed upon the shoulders of God's children. It was unbearable. Like a belt. Tighten, ever tighten, till we can't breathe anymore. And so by the time of Jesus, by the time of our passage that was read this morning by Thea, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had added so much until it was like, almost like death to them. It was crazy. It was meant to be a blessing, and it became like a curse to them. The law became a chore, with more and more notches added to the belt, rules and regulations in order that we might stay right with God. They'd made a perversion of what it was meant to be. And so the passage we have before us this morning shows Jesus rebuking the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, rebuking them for their stupidity in a way. Don't be so daft, don't be so silly. What are you talking about? I mean, these Pharisees, what are they like? What are they doing in a cornfield? They're following Jesus to catch him out. Now, I don't know if they're hiding behind a bush or something, or a tree, or perhaps in the cornfield itself, and they pop up every now and again because they've seen him do something wrong. They're really out to get him, aren't they? We're only into chapter 2 of Mark's Gospel, towards chapter 3, and already they're out to get him in the very last verse there that was read to us. The Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Now, the Pharisees and the Herodians were enemies in themselves. They didn't like one another at all. They didn't get on at all well, but they're united in this persecution, if you like, of Jesus Christ. And all he wanted to do was to heal a man with a withered hand. All he wanted to do was do good. What was the matter with them? What was wrong with them? Jesus says in verse 24 of chapter 2, don't be so silly. Don't you remember what David did when his armies were hungry? Have you never read what David did when he was being pursued by Saul's armies? When his own people were hungry and they came across a temple that had the sanctified bread, and they were hungry and David took the bread. It made sense to do that. Was breaking the law, but David, who was Israel's greatest king, then broke that law in order that his troops would not be hungry. So fixated on the words of the law were the Pharisees that they missed the intent of the law, the purpose of the law, the essence of what the law was. Jesus was not breaking the law. He was fulfilling the law. But the law was there to bless and to help, not to hinder. And then Jesus in Mark 2:27 reminds them the purpose of the law. He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. When we first became Christians many, many years ago, I decided that my family would do nothing on a Sunday. We would try so hard to do the right thing, which was to have a day completely of rest. So overwhelmed were we with our conversion experience. It was so powerful and so wonderful. And we realized that we were once slaves, but now we're free. We wanted to please God. We wanted to show God just how grateful we were. So we didn't do anything on a Sunday. We prepared the meals on the Saturday. We made sure the house was clean and tidy and the garden was mowed and weeded. We didn't want to do anything at all. And so every Sunday we would spend time just sitting around and reading perhaps and wandering in the garden aimlessly, and I tell you, it was so boring. It was a terrible experience. We kept this up for about 3 weeks. We would go to church in the morning. Of course we would. We kept it up for about 3 weeks. And then my son fell off a swing in the garden and broke his arm, and we rushed him to the hospital. And were we grateful that there were people willing to work on a Sunday? Stupid. We gave that up in no time. We realize, I suppose we didn't realize before, but we did realize then that God loves us, warts and all. And we don't have to prove that to him. He knows we love him. And while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And we have to be so very careful that we don't laden ourselves down with the law, and that we're under grace. We're free. We're not slaves to the law and to keeping the rules and the regulations. Of course God wants us to be right. But you see, the Israelites couldn't keep the law. It was just too much. And so they were breaking it all the time. And then they felt guilty about that, and they tried harder and harder, and it just was impossible. How are we doing with all this? How are you doing with taking a break, at stopping? Do you know where the breaks are? Are you applying them properly? Because one of the things I used to teach my children was to apply the brakes properly, not to jam them on, because you'll go over the handlebars if you're not careful, or you'll crash, but to just gently squeeze and stop. And the crunch line, I think, for me anyway, in this passage comes in verse 28, where Jesus says this: "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Even of the Sabbath. What he's saying there is something like, I am all you need. I am the only law that you need. I'm the law of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. I'm all you really need in order to be totally free within the restraints of love. I believe we still need Sabbath today. There's that big discussion, do we need Sabbath then, if Jesus is all we need? Do we need Sabbath? I believe we do. We do need Sabbath today. This is wonderful. I love Sundays. I love that day where I've put aside time to come and worship with other people as a family. It's a family celebration. I believe we do still need Sabbath today. We live in a 24/7 society. We need a 24-hour period of rest. Rest from your normal work, the busyness of your daily lives, and the work that you are involved with, whatever that might be. We do not need to keep it in the same way, I don't believe, as Israel was commanded to do in the Old Testament. That was the Old Testament, and that's fine, that's good, in that period of time under the Old Covenant. That was for then. We no longer live under law. We live under grace. But it's right to keep the essence of the law. It's right to keep the essence of Sabbath. Make it holy. Find a way of making, if it is Sunday, it may not be Sunday for you. Sunday is traditional. Of course, it's the day Jesus rose from the dead. So traditionally, Christians have worshipped on a Sunday, and they've taken that day as a day of rest. But it may not be able to be that for you because of your work. But take one day where you can just be different. Make it holy, a time where you can step aside and find more holiness, if you like. It's a bit like when we say prayers, you know, we're meant to make every day holy, of course. But, you know, it's like my prayer life. I sometimes pray in the car or when I'm walking the dog or when I'm doing stuff. I pray all the time. And every day we make that holy in a way. But there are some times when we need to step aside and get to a really quiet place, a special time set aside. Not in the car, not rushing around. And I think for us, mainly it's Sunday is that day where we don't work if we can. Or we take that one day, Monday or Tuesday or whatever it might be, where we make that day more special. And we think about the things that we need to remember, that we were once slaves. And we need to give God the thanks for that. We were once slaves, not in Egypt, but in ourselves. And now we're free. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, and now I see. A time where we can really concentrate on those things of our faith and make them strong for ourselves through the power of the Spirit as He connects with us in that quiet place. It is right to keep the essence of the faith of Sabbath. Of course it is. God established it for our good, to refresh our minds, our bodies, and our spirits, our soul. A rich well of refreshment every week. I'm going to use the St. Augustine quote again, where he says, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, O Lord. In you, O God." It often seems wrong, doesn't it, to rest when there's so much to do. But we all know we need to get rested off of the treadmill of life. How are you doing with that? What is your treadmill? Where is your treadmill? Are you tempted to always be working? Always be doing? We need to take time aside as Christians to renew our faith, to strengthen. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are you managing to find time to stop? Are you applying the brakes in order to stop properly? How do you stop when there are so many things to do every day? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. When I first became a Christian, I was converted through a small Methodist church on the corner of our town. And one of the hymns they sang there, and it's a real Methodist chapel type hymn, was this one. "I heard the voice of Jesus say." Do you know that one? I don't expect Dan to know this particular one. It's a real Methodist chapel hymn. "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down your weary one, lay down your head upon my breast." And I came to Jesus, and it really impacted me at that time when I first became a Christian. I came to Jesus as I was, just as I am, weary and worn and sad. I found in him my resting place, and he made me glad. I'm not sure the word glad really summed it up. It was very glad, joyfully glad. I was over the moon. It was wonderful. I came to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He is all we need in order to find that rest we truly need. Do you know where the brakes are? Not only when you're riding on your bike, but in your life, when you're riding the waves of life, so to speak. Come to me, Jesus said. Matthew 11:28. Let's just see it on the screen and I'll finish with this. Come to me, all you who are weary, burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm not might give you, I will give you. I will give you rest. Cease from your strivings and come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Cease from your worrying and fretting. Cease from your insecurities and come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and receive from him all that you need. Come. Come to me, said the Lord, and I will give you rest. Find that place where you can come to Jesus. Make it every day, but make it special once a week with worship and Bible and prayer. Come to Jesus. Come to me, said the Lord, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you know where the brakes are? Make sure you know where the brakes are, otherwise you'll crash. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and pray you now apply it firmly into our hearts. Help us to find that place, Lord, of renewal. We thank you for Sabbath. We thank you for that day of rest. Bless us, we pray, Lord, in the power of your Spirit. Fill us to overflowing with your love and your joy and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.